It will just depend on exactly on whether Emmerson Mnangagwa, our new president, will be able to indeed break from the legacy of Robert Mugabe. That has been a legacy of repression, of gross mismanagement and ineptitude and outright like cruelty and repression. So he has, our new president has expressed such an intention to be a new, different government. But whether he does, whether he does become that, as you know, proof of the pudding is in the eating, we are waiting to see.
Zimbabwe's government has just delivered its first budget since the fall of Robert Mugabe. Is it a good budget?
From what I see, they're very interesting and very good, I think, intentions in that budget. From what I'm seeing, one phenomenal thing is that even they're projecting a growth. We've had a scandalously depressing and embarrassing tiny, almost invisible budget of $4.4 billion United States dollars annual budget in the last two or so or 3 years. Our economy has shrunk to such painful such a painful level, outside even a war situation, for an economy that is for 14 million people, that has such a wealth of resources, human and natural. It's totally unacceptable. It wasn't functioning. So the minister has projected a budget from revenues of and therefore expenditure of $5.1 billion or so. That's an a growth by about $1 billion. So that's that's what they're expecting. It would be good, definitely, if the Zimbabwean budget grew even beyond that. So that's one thing. And the other key factor is that the minister is expressing intention to drastically cut down on government expenditure. But also, from what I see, a lot of his measures, his fiscal measures, are around reducing the costs, employment costs, because again, it's an extremely strange situation where you have such a tiny budget. So what has tended to happen is that about 90% of the budget has gone to employment costs, and maybe not necessarily because only because of overspending on employment costs, but because there's been nothing else happening in the economy. Like these habits that Mugabe's government, which is interestingly the same people more or less, have over the years become accustomed to profligacy and wanton spending on unnecessary costs that could meet other needs, such as reducing perks for like permanent secretaries. I mean, Zimbabwe spends a lot of money on vehicles, and also they were, for political expediency, they were what we call ghost workers that were employed for political purposes in the Ministry of Youth. People who don't really do anything and have no function, but have been paid salaries. I see that he has proposed that they get rid of those, as well as also to require that offer retirement incentives to people who are in the civil service, whose retirement ages come, who are in there, but even the merging of ministries will result in people people going and reducing travel, and issues around that. It's very positive. But also, I'm very encouraged that they have for the first time indicated starting to plan for funding the basic state-funded education that the 2013 constitution provides for. There's been no attention to issues like that.
The finance minister, Patrick Chinamasa, has also announced a series of measures to woo back international investors. Is that going to work?
It will work if, in my view, the government demonstrates fidelity to the rule of law and to the constitution. We have a constitution that I've mentioned that we adopted in 2013, but has not been, most of it, I would say 70% of it has not been in place. A lot of institutions are not functioning. So, because investors would only, if I was, if I'm an investor, I would only send my money where I see that the rule of law operates, where I know that I can get stability, I can get enter into contracts and the law will be fulfilled. And if I have disputes, I can go to the courts and the courts will adjudicate over my disputes without political considerations. And that if the courts issue me a favorable ruling, I will be able to enforce it without being afraid of political heavy-handedness and political protection, without corruption as well. So those measures will come in place only if that happens. But also, we have an election that we must hold in, like I said, no later than July. Zimbabwe's elections have been punctuated very severely by blood and by violence and by repression and by cheating, outright cheating. So the president's very noble and encouraging budget plans will be anchored also on the capacity of him to show that he's willing to conduct free and fair elections that are not violent, that have no repression, and that don't have a cloud of controversy, because it's just 6 months, and that's a big test. So no economic reforms can ever take root in a country that is politically unstable and has political disputes, and that does not abide by its own constitution.
Are you confident those elections will be free and fair?
I'm not confident, but I hope that, like I said, I do hope that the new president can sincerely can break away from the cheating and the violence that ZANU-PF has had in elections, and even the military, because there's a specter of the military. We now have a very overtly active military in our politics, and that's not a good sign, because in the past, the experience of my party has been that military has been key in the repression. One of the electoral reforms that we keep demanding is that even in the administration of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, which should be an independent body in terms of the constitution, one of the reforms we require is that we haven't had up to now is the removal of the military and the security forces in the administration of the Electoral Commission, so that it can independently and freely administer elections, because that's one factor. And also even access reforms, we need electoral reforms, such as even access to the media, that look a lot hinges on the capacity of Zimbabwe to hold free and fair elections. Zimbabwe is at a space where it has the opportunity to do right and stop being a pariah state, where there's a lot of promise from in Zimbabwe, and also Zimbabweans who have gone out of Zimbabwe, like even here in Australia, who are very talented and very skilled, and Zimbabwe needs them. And my hope is that the government, that we have a government that is faithful to the aspirations of the very talented Zimbabweans in and outside the country, and that this government completes its term, and we do hold free and fair elections, so that Zimbabweans are able to decide. And also even Zimbabweans, also, we're also still fighting for Zimbabweans in the diaspora, like in Australia and elsewhere, to be able to also vote and have a say in how their country is governed, because their remittances are funding a lot of the budget right now. So it's a time of great hope, but if we fulfill and start implementing the constitution of Zimbabwe, it will be a beautiful place for everyone to be able to live in.